منه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue inshallah with the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will be reading inshallah today from Qasas al-Anbiya as well as from the al-Fusul, from seerah al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, Imam Ibn Kathir. And we said we're going to start the section on the Hijrah. And we already spoke about the beginning of the Hijrah with the Prophet ﷺ left Makkah to Medina. And we discussed that journey. And today, if we start with Sheikh Al-Sa'di's Qasas Al-Anbiya, Prophet ﷺ having arrived in Medina. So in the second year of Hijriya, Shaykh Sa'di continues and he says, فرض الله على العباد الزكاة والصيام فآية الصيام والزكاة إنما نزلت في هذا العام وقت فرضها. So here, the second year Hijriya is the year that zakah and siyam were being prescribed as being obligatory in its complete sense, because they used to have a fasting, but it wasn't the complete fasting that we have now. Before, it was a choice. They could pay a poor person for every day, or they could fast. But in the second year Hijriya, it became obligatory to fast, unless you have an illness or you're traveling. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. See, it was written before, just like it was written for those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So there was a fast before, but the fast of the believers, the Prophet ﷺ showed us the complete fast, and he said differ from the Jews and the Christians in their fast, differ from them. And he mentions some of the ways of differing from that is to hasten to break the fast, to be quick to break the fast. Don't delay it. Like the Shia, they delay. This is not from the Sunnah. Sunnah is to break fast quickly. Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah will cease to be uppermost if they delay the breaking of the fast. And they precede the suhoor, the taking of the suhoor. The suhoor should be delayed, not be made early. Should be delayed. In fact, in one narration, 50 verses before Fajr, you can begin your suhoor. It's at the end, the last third part of the night, before Fajr. That is the barakah. The barakah is in the suhoor. Inna fi suhoori barakah. In the suhoor there is barakah. Barakah, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmullah says, barakah is general here, and it necessitates your health, your wealth, your children, your... So this whole barakah is a blessing. And you think, subhanAllah, all this barakah coming to me is because you're practicing the sunnah. All this barakah coming to me is because you're establishing that which Rasulullah ﷺ established. And the Prophet ﷺ said, barakah. It is a barakah, it is a blessing. So it is going to be for you. So siyam, we said, is second year Hijriya, was made obligatory in its complete sense, from Fajr all the way to sunset. And keeping away from food, drink, and desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for the person to keep away from his food and drink if he continues to backbite, to slander, to tell care, yani to cause fitna with his tongue. So Allah salama. So it's a time to protect one's self, his deen. In fact, siyam in the Arabic language means al-imsak. Al-imsak, which means to withhold. And Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she herself said, إني نظرت للرحمن الصوبا, that I have made an oath to do صوم. And what she meant here is to withhold from speaking. That is the oath that she made, from withhold from speaking after she gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu salam. And even when they came to her and questioned her, فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ, she didn't speak. She pointed to Isa alayhi salatu salam, فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. And then he's the one who spoke in the cradle, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. So it shows you that imsak or صوم in the Arabic language means imsak, to withhold. She withhold herself from speaking. As for fasting in the month of Ramadan, then you withhold yourself from speaking, from eating, drinking, and relations. Now, and keeping away from evil deeds. So fasting was established, and zakah was established in its complete sense. And subhanAllah, if you study the book of zakah from Bukhari, or from Lu'lu' al-Marjan, or from Umdat al-Ahkam, or from Bulugh al-Maram, it's detailed. It's very detailed. And it's ilm in itself to study the book of zakah. And Shaykh Ubaid used to teach it many times. He would go over even the books of fiqh covering the book of zakah, from Manhaj al-Salikin of Shaykh al-Sa'di. He's got a fiqh book called Manhaj al-Salikin. And also the other smaller books, or they're slightly bigger than Manhaj al-Salikin, the book by Ibn Qudama rahimahullah. He's got different levels of books, and you can study them in levels. And that is, these are all fiqh books, and it's good to study fiqh. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi says, Talib al-Ilm, he needs to study the books of fiqh, not just the books of hadith. Hadith books that teach you fiqh, like Bulugh al-Maram, like Umdat al-Ahkam, is good, and you will benefit, and you will learn the hadith and learn the fiqh of the hadith, no doubt. But studying the books of fiqh of the ulama, this also aids you, because what it does, it builds scenarios for you to understand, what about this, if this happened this way, and this happened. So you start thinking more into the different scenarios. So you have, for example, from the Hanabila, they teach, and Sheikh Muhammad taught, and Sheikh Sulaiman Rahili, he taught a book called Banar al-Sabil, which is an excellent book in fiqh. And there are books that you can study, but as long as you do not have ta'assub, you're not partisan to a particular madhab. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not say follow this madhab or not the other madhab. There was no such there was no madhab Bakri or Umari or Uthmani, or a madhab following Ali only, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Rather, the Sahaba followed all of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. And likewise, we follow all of the great Imams. And we take from where they take from the authentic Sunnah. وفي سنة الثانية أيضا كانت وقعة بدر. So Badr, the battle of Badr occurred, and we mentioned this slightly in the other Dars, when a caravan came from Sham, and Abu Sufyan was still a mushrik at that time, and they'd hoped that the caravan would go to Makkah. And the Prophet ﷺ gathered 300 odd people to reach the caravan, and Abu Sufyan over 1,000 or just 1,000 people that had met them in Badr. And subhanAllah, it was victory for the believers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down angels to aid the people of Badr, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And here Shaykh Sa'di says, وَسَبَبُهَا أَنَّ عَيْرًا لِقُرَيْشِ. So the عَيْر, the caravan was for Quraysh. تَحْمِلُ تِجَارَةً عَظِيمًا. It had lots of tijara, lots of goods, if you like, belongings from Sham. خَرَجَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِمَنْ خَفَّ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ لِطَلَبِهَا فَخَرَجَتْ قُرَيْشِ لِحِمَايَتِهَا. So Quraysh went out also to protect this caravan. وتوافوا في بدر على غير ميعاد. And that was without actually an appointment, an appointed time. They all Qadar alive. When they met, it was at Badr. And here it's more detailed in Ibn Kathir's book. But Shaykh Sa'di, anyway, let me just finish what Shaykh Sa'di says. فَهَزَمَ اللَّهُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ هَزِيمَةً عَظِيمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the believers over the polytheists, and he said a victory that was a great victory, such that the heads of them were killed because they came out in order to fight, and the Sahaba actually didn't come out to fight. They were not even prepared to fight. وَهَذِهِ الْغَزْوَى أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا وَفِي تَفَاصِيلِهَا سُورَةِ الْأَنْفَالِ. So this غَزْوَى, the details of it is in Surah Al-Anfal. نعم. And then he said, when the Prophet went back to Medina, after that, the Aus and the Khazraj tribes that were still polytheists, some of them entered into Islam hypocritically. They didn't enter Islam truthfully. And those verses were revealed in Surah Al-Munafiqun about the hypocrites, in particular Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was spreading lots of evil against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have this story mentioned by Imam Ibn Kathir rahimullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that battle, He sent down rain, and for the believers it was tranquility and calm, and for the disbelievers it was difficult. It was for them such that they felt uneasiness, and they felt also that ru'b, that frightened feeling. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a blessing from Allah. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَمَّا كَانَ فِي رَمَضَانَ. And it was in the month of Ramadan, in fact 17th of Ramadan. بَلَغَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَعِيرًا مُقْبِلَةً مِنَ الشَّامِ صُحْبَةَ أَبِي سُفْيَانَ and Sakhr ibn Harb فِي 30 أَوْ 40 رَجُلًا مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. So it's about 30-40 men from Quraysh, he says, that were coming with a caravan. وَهِيَ عَيْرٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. Lots of goods and lots of belongings. تَحْمَلُ أَمْوَالًا جَزِيلَةً. And you know, the Prophet was driven out of Mecca, and he was also, the Sahaba were harmed and they were persecuted. So here, when they found about the caravan, they went out towards the caravan. And when Abu Sufyan heard about that the Messenger is coming out, he also set 1,000 people in order to fight them, to fight the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they were not prepared for any battle. فَأَكْثَرَ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ الْوَاحِدِ فَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِي. So the Prophet and Ali radiallahu anhu and a group of the companions, 300 plus companions, they went out from the elders amongst the companions radiallahu anhum. نعم. And they went out with Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu holding the flag, Rayat al-Wahida. Na'am. And they went out in order to reach the caravan. Then the battle began when they met at Badr. And Badr was known as a well, a place with a well. And so it was an important point for anyone to come by to go and drink from that well, and to go and to allow the animals to drink. So when the Messenger heard about the Quraysh coming out, then he spoke to the Muhajireen, and he spoke to the Ansar about what to do. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, it's as if you're asking us what to do, meaning that, you know, we تُعَرِّضُ عَبِنَا فَوَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ اسْتَعْرَضْتَ بِنَا هَذَا الْبَحْرِ. He says, as if you are questioning us whether we are prepared to go out, we are prepared to continue, because you're asking us whether we are ready, whether we are strong enough to continue. He said, by Allah, if there was an ocean or a sea in front of us, we would stay with you, defending you, and go forward. SubhanAllah. Even if it was sea, an ocean, we would still go forward with you, O Messenger of Allah. That was Sa'd Ibn Mu'ad radiallahu anhu. Fasirna ya Rasulullah. Fasir bina. He said, so let us go forward, O Messenger of Allah. Ala barakatillah. From the blessing of Allah, let's go forward. We will protect you, we will aid you, and we will help in that which you have gone out for. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy. Fasurra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bidalik, with that strength that Sa'd ibn Mu'ad showed, and that bravery. And he said, Siru wa abshiru, go forward, and with glad tidings. فإن الله قد وعدني إحدى طائفتين. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised me one of the two parties. And they will explain that in the next section. ثم رحل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فنزل قريبا من بدر. So the Prophet ﷺ went and he stayed close to Badr. وركب صلى الله عليه وسلم مع رجل من أصحابه مستخبرا ثم انصرف. Then the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم went with one of his companions until the evening. He was with him. أمسى بعث عليا وسعدا وزبير إلى ماء. And he sent Ali رضي الله عنه and Sa'd and Zubair to the water of Badr, the well of Badr, just to see, because now they knew they were coming from that direction, just to see what the latest news is. And they came with two servants from Quraysh, and they called them. They caught two servants from Quraysh. They caught them and they brought them back to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While the Prophet was praying at that time, companions asked them, Liman antuma, who do you belong to? So they're expecting them to say either Quraysh, or they want to know who are they from, who are they with. So both of them said, Nahnu suqatun li Quraysh, we are actually from Quraysh, but we only just go on there to get some water. But the Sahaba knew that this was not the case, and they asked him again, and they kept on asking him until they said, we are from with Abu Sufyan. Wa annahu minhum qareeb. Then he says to them, لشدة بأسهم واستعدادهم لذلك فجعلوا يضربونهما. So they hit them until they told the truth. قال نحن لأبي سفيان. We are actually with Abu Sufyan, with that army that has come really to fight you. And they told the truth in the end. فلما انصرف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلاته. So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم finished his prayer, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. إِنَّكُمْ لَتَضْرَبُونَهُمَا إِذَا صَدَقَ وَتَتْرَكُونَهُمَا إِذَا كَذَبَ. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُمَا أَخْبِرَانِ أَيْنَ قُرَيْشِ. Then he asked them, he said, well, you said to them, you hit them both when they tell the truth, and then you leave them when they lie to you. Then he said, I ask you both, these two servants, tell me about the whereabouts of Quraysh. And they said, Quraysh is behind this place, and he basically close by. Then the Prophet asked them, how many are they? And they didn't answer. Then the Prophet said, how many camels do they slaughter? Then they said, every day they slaughter 10 or 9 camels. So the Prophet said, therefore there must be 900 or 1,000 people. So he calculated how many they were just by the answer that they gave them. And so the battle began when both of the two armies or the two group parties, they met at Badr. وَحَالَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُرَيْشِ وَبَيْنَ الْمَاءِ بِمَطَرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And this is the rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent just before the fight, or just before the battle. نِقْمَةً عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ وَنِعْمَةً عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So for the believers it was a blessing, but for the disbelievers it was hardship and difficulty. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the earth for the believers, and for the disbelievers it was made difficult for them to tread on. وَمَشَى صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَوْضِعِ الْمَعْرَكَةِ وَجَعَلَ يُرِيهِمْ مَصَارِعَ رُؤُوسِ الْقَوْمِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, just before the battle, he said to the Sahaba, in this place there's going to be a fight between such and such and such, in this place there's going to be such and such, and he mentioned exactly what's going to happen from a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next day when the fight occurred, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhu anhu said, فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَهُ بِالْحَقِّ مَا أَخْطَأَ وَاحِدْ مِنْهُمْ مَوْضِعَهُ الَّذِي أَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was not at all mistaken in any of the places and what occurred in those places in the battle at all. He mentioned exactly what was going to happen, and it definitely occurred. وَبَاتَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةَ يُصَلِّي إِلَى جَجْمِ شَجَرَةٍ هناك وكانت ليلة الجمعة السابع عشر من رمضان. So it was the 17th of Ramadan, and they were at that place. It was Ramadan, so it was a fasting month. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger made dua to Allah, and he said, Allahumma hadhi Qurayshun qad aqbalat. Oh Allah, this is Quraysh that have come forward. Fi fakhriha وخيلائها, يعني in its arrogance and in its pride. تحادك وتحاد رسولك, and they have come in order. التحدي in Arabic basically means in order to, it's like to challenge. They have come to challenge you, Allah, and to challenge the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he's making dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them victory. In the beginning of the battle, usually at that time the battles, they would, before the actual battle comes forward, they would have three, or the main fighters, if you like, warriors, free from this side and free from the politics side, free from the Muslim side, and they would come and start first. خرج عتبة شيبة ابن ربيعة والوليد ابن عتبة ثلاثتهم جميعا يطلبون البراز فخرج إليهم من المسلمين ثلاثة من الأنصار. So three of the Ansar came forward in order to meet three of the politicians. And the Ansar being Awf ومعوذ ابن عفراء وعبد الله ابن رواحة. And they said to them, من أنتم? Who are you? They said, من الأنصار. We are from the Ansar. So the polytheists, they didn't want to fight first with those of the Ansar. Their anger and their hatred was for the Muhajirin, from the family of Rasulullah, his family. And so Ali radiallahu anhu came forward, and Ubayd ibn al-Harith and Hamza radiallahu anhum, and they came forward to begin the battle first. And Ali radiallahu anhu actually took that verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَانِ خَصْمَانِ اِخْتَصَمُوا فِي رَبِّهِمْ فِي بَزَارِ يَوْمَ بَدَرْ, referring to those who argued, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that they were argumentative regarding their Lord, or regarding the fight between themselves and the believers, because they didn't want to fight the Ansar. They wanted to fight first and foremost the family of Rasulullah, the Muhajirun, those who had been in Mecca with them. And the Prophet supplicated, he said, Allahumma in tahlik hadihi al-isaba la tu'bad fil ard. Oh Allah, that you destroy this group of people such that they are not worshipped upon the earth. And this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, فَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and that is in line with the statement of Allah, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفِ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. such that you, O Muhammad ﷺ, seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because istighatha is to seek help in the time of need. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ asked for. He asked for help in the time of difficulty. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the Messenger ﷺ's supplication, preparing for him 1,000 from the angels to defend the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the other verse, Surah Al-Anfal, verse 48, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمُ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ نَكَصَ عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكُمْ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكُمْ إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ Here Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions about Shaytan, how he made to the polytheists, he made them disillusioned that they would be able to defeat this army. And that's why Allah says, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Beautifying for them their actions of what they're going to do. They fight and they battle against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. But then when they fell back on their heels, becoming defeated, what did Shaytan say? وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ I am free from you. This is the case of Shaytan. After he puts you in the problem, he says, I'm free from you. And then he says, إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ I see that which you don't see. You can see the angels, thousands of them, fighting and defending the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I see that which you don't see. They can't see, but he put them in the problem and then he flees. Just like Allah mentioned, Al-Khannas, الَّذِي وَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ Allah called the shaitan Al-Khannas. Al-Khannas, the one who whispers and flees. He does his trouble and then he flees. And then he says, it's not me, it's you. And Yawm Al-Qiyamah will say the same, that he is free from any blame. So, Shaitan, Iblis saw that the devils, that the angels were aiding the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثم ارتحل بالأسارة والمغانم. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that was given victory, and they had booty, and that was divided also. وأنزل الله تعالى في وقعة بدر سورة الأنفال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sat down سورة الأنفال, clarifying what occurred in Badr. And Badr, from the Muslims, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that 14 men were killed, 6 from the Muhajirin and 6 from the Khazraj and 2 from Aus. The Khazraj were Aus from the tribes of Medina. So only a few of the Muslims had passed away. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once they had defeated the disbelievers in Badr, they were buried. But then Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said over them, "Hal wajidtum ma wa'ada rabbukum haqqa?" Did you come to find? Because as soon as they're put in the grave, and the soul is returned to the body, and they're made to sit, they have been questioned and they have been punished. That is the case of the disbelievers. As soon as their body is put in the grave, and that's what happened, as soon as they were put in the pit, and then the soul of the disbelievers is thrown back into their bodies, and then they're made to sit and they are questioned, punishment begins. هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعْدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّى Did you come to find that which your Lord has promised you of punishment? And Allah mentions even the people of Nuh alayhi salam, as soon as they were drowned, they were punished. فَأُغْرِقُوا Allah says they were drowned, and then straight away mentions the punishment of the hellfire. That they were entered the hellfire. وَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا After he mentioned that they were drowned. Meaning the punishment begins in the grave. And that is one of the proof that the scholars bring, that there is punishment of the grave. And also Allah mentions about the people of Fir'aun that an-nar, that fire, yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya, that they will be brought to the fire morning and evening, that is in the grave before the akhirah, before the yani the resurrection, the, before the ba'th, punishing the grave. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued after that battle, na'am, to educate, to teach the people of Medina. But the polytheists were very angry. They were very angry about what happened in Badr, and they were ready, and Abu Sufyan was amongst them, ready to take revenge. So in the third year Hijriya, the battle of Uhud occurred. The mushrikun gathered their, the polytheists gathered their armies at the edge of Medina. وخرج إليهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأصحابه, and the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم went out to them. And on his way out, he's noticing that some are going back. They're not continuing amongst the hypocrites and those who went back, but the ones who were firm and they were companions, they continued. ورتبهم, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gathered them. So instead of having a large army, they became less and less, while the polytheists, they had 3,000 or so. And so the Prophet ﷺ went towards Uhud. ثم لما ترك الرماة, so initially when the battle began, the Prophet ﷺ, he told the archers to stay in their positions, so that if they are able to get victory over the polytheists, then the polytheists cannot come from behind. And that is what occurred, because when the archers left, their post. They left their post because they saw that the Muslims were gaining victory, and they left their post, and it was told to them, stay. Amongst the companions said to them, stay. Prophet said, stay. Whatever happens, stay. But then Khalid ibn Walid came with his army from behind after noticing there was a gap, and he came and he attacked from behind. ثم لما ترك الرماة مركزهم والذي رتبهم فيه رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال لهم لا تبرحوا عنه. Whether we are successful or whether we are in defeat, don't leave that place. وجاءت الخيل من تلك الثغرة, and the horses came from that gap, and where the Sahaba were vulnerable. وَكَانَ مَا كَانَ حَصَلَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي أُحُدْ مَقْتَلَةً أَكْرَمَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِالشَّهَادَةِ. And there was many that were killed, and they, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with the martyrdom in his path. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَفْصِيلَ هَذِهِ الْغَزَاءِ فِي سُورَةِ آلِ عِمْرَانِ, and the details of this battle of Uhud is mentioned in Surah Al Imran. فالوقوف على هذه الغزوة من كتب السير يعين على فهم الآيات. So if you go back to the books of Sira, he says, Sheikh Sa'di, then you'll understand this غزوة in more detail. And in, if you go, this is Ibn Kathir's book of Sira, Al-Fusul, he says here, وخرج إلى أحد في ألف. So 1,000 went out from the Muslims in Uhud. فلما كان ببعض الطريق in Khazala Abdullah ibn Ubay, from the first to go back, Abdullah ibn Ubay, a hypocrite, he left and he managed to take 300 with him, Allah, causing doubt, 300. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Haram, walid Jabir, the father of Jabir ibn Abdullah, the father of Jabir, he went towards them and he told them off for going back, but they didn't listen. They said, if we knew that you were going to go out to fight, we wouldn't have gone in the first place. So they went out with them, but they just made up that we didn't know you're going to actually fight, and they continued to return back to Medina. And Abdullah reviled them for what they did, for going back and leaving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاسْتَقَلَّ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَنْ بَقِي مَعَهُ حَتَّى نَزَلَ شِعْبَ أُحُدْ. And the Prophet ﷺ continued with those with him, about 700 or so, until they reached the beginning or the small hills of Uhud. فَجَعَلَ ظَهْرَهُ إِلَى أُحُدْ وَنَهَى النَّاسِ. So he turned his back to Uhud, and he started advising his companions regarding the battle. And he gathered the archers, and he gathered the horsemen, and he gathered the fighters in order to defend Medina and defend the families. وَأَعْطَى اللِّوَاءِ مُسْعَى بْنُ عُمَيْرٍ. And he gave the flag to Mus'ab ibn Umair. وَجَعَلَ عَلَى إِحْدَى الْمُجَنَّبَتَيْنِ الزُّبَيْرِ بْنُ عُوَامٍ. And also placed Zubair ibn Awam, Naam, وَمُنذِر ibn Amr, and other companions. He placed them in their quarters to defend certain positions. And also there were some young companions who had come that wanted to defend the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those that were above 15 or 15 and above, he allowed to aid him in the in defending the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and defending the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From them is Samura ibn Jundab and Rafi' ibn Khadij, Naam, and other than them, and others who are younger than them, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned them away because of their young age. And from them that he turned away Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, and Asid ibn Zuhayra, ibn Zuhayr, and Bara ibn Azib, and Zayd ibn Arqam, and Zayd ibn Thabit, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, and other than them, he returned them back because they were young. And it shows us also the Sahaba, even though they were young, they wanted to defend the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and aid him, and also defend their families. And the battle began. But this time, because of one incident, that main incident, the Prophet said to the archers, "Don't leave your posts." And this is a command from Rasulullah. And if you leave a command of the Messenger, it could be a reason for you, for your downfall, and it could be a reason for not being successful. How many commands do we leave? How many commands do we fall short and we are deficient in fulfilling, and yet we complain about the state of the ummah? وَخَلَصَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ إِلَى رَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَجُرِحَ فِي وَجْهِهِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, even him at this time now, when Khalid ibn Walid came from behind, and the polytheists managed to gather their armies against the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions, even though the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, they were uppermost in that battle at the beginning. But as soon as those archers left their posts, now the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was being attacked, and his incisor tooth on the right side was chipped, and he was being pelted with stones, and likewise he was hit on the head until his head bled. And many companions passed away. From them, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. And he gave, as he's passing away, he gave the flag to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And so many passed away from the best of the companions. And you see them in Uhud. And this is something you can do, to go there and send salam to Ahl Uhud. Salam to them, and to remember that disobedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a reason for our downfall. Rather, Allah commands us to obey Him many times in the Quran, and to obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasulu ulil amri minkum. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those in authority over you. And Allah says, Atiyu Allah وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ وَلَا تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ أَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger وسلم, and don't turn away from him while you hear. And Allah says, وَإِن تُطِيعُهُ تَهْتَدُوا, and if you were to obey him, you will truly be guided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said also, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly love Allah, Allah will, say, if you truly love Allah, then follow the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. And in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. All of my ummah will enter paradise except those who refuse to enter paradise. So the Sahaba said, وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, who can refuse to enter paradise, O Messenger of Allah? And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me has refused. So obedience to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and imitating him and following him, this is honor for the believers. But you see the state of the ummah, and how the people have turned away from the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is just one disobedience, or one aspect. When the archers left the post, the Sahaba were defeated in the battle of Badr, and many were inflicted with harm because of the polytheists and what they did, and their revenge that they wanted to take. And not only that, they were so revengeful that they took bodily parts of the Sahaba to show the mushrikeen, the polytheists back home in Makkah, to show them that, well, look what we've done to this companion and this companion and that companion. They were so revengeful on what they did, and happy, revengeful to the against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and happy to display the bodily parts of the companions, whether it's their heads or their or other parts, to show the people that we have done, look what we have done, we've taken our revenge. The hatred came out that they had. And this lesson that we must learn, obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a reason for our success and a reason for our honor. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed us the best path, the best way. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah there is a beautiful example. And even in the battlefield, he warned the Sahaba from killing women, from killing children and the old, from killing a priest in his monastery, or a rabbi in his monastery, because they have nothing to do with the battle. The Prophet warned against even those. The messengers would come with pieces of news from the other army. He warned that it's forbidden to kill them. It's forbidden to kill them. They are not people of war. They have come to give a message. You don't kill them. The battle is only in the battlefield. This is against what the takfir is called to today, where they use these stories of Uhud and Badr in order for Muslims to become emotional to fight their neighbors and to fight the people that they live with. The Prophet ﷺ warned against killing a mu'ahad, one under contract. The Prophet ﷺ did not come to deceive the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Rather, he came to clarify truthfulness and honesty to the people. And so he was not one to be deceptive, even in this situation. He didn't deceive. Yes, he would show that if the polytheists go in one way, he would go another way. That's one thing. That's something else. But he would not deceive, to cheat the people. But as for the battlefield, to go one way and come another, that's in the battle. But prior to the battle, he didn't go around deceiving people. Nor did he go around cheating people. Rather, he was honest and he was merciful, even to those captives, those whom were caught. He was merciful to them. When he was given the victory of Makkah in Al-Fath, the Fath of Makkah, Then Allah's Messenger, when the polytheists thought that they were going to be killed because of the harm that they caused, the Messenger Prophet said, "Antum at-tulaqa, you are the ones to be set free." And they were surprised. And many became Muslims because they saw what the Messenger was about. Abu Sufyan, who was a polytheist, and he was there against the Messenger in the Battle of Badr, yani directing the polytheists against the Prophet, and in Uhud against the Messenger, but still, look, after all of that, he gave the Shahada because he saw the Prophet was a man that was just, even in the battlefield. He was just in all of his dealings, in his life, with his family, with his neighbors, with Muslims, with non-Muslims, with captives. He was just, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not oppress. Oppression was made forbidden for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it forbidden for himself, and he made it forbidden for the believers to oppress one another. So don't oppress one another. إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So don't oppress one another. So these two great battles that occurred, they have great lessons that we adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we keep away from his disobedience, and that victory no doubt belongs to Allah. He is the one who is ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir, a blessed helper and a blessed one to give victory, relying upon him alone and referring back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where salvation lies, and following the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example. Inshallah, tomorrow we will go over the fourth year Hijriya onwards until we finish, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Hayyakum Allah. Marhaban, welcome. Are there any corrections or questions? Hayyakallah, ahlan. What is the ruling on having children's toys and clothing that has Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Star Wars, etc. on them? As for Superman, there's no Superman. A man going around, a man flying and making the whole earth spin the other way, isn't that what they're supposed to? It's all Hollywood, isn't it? It's not Superman. It's all lies. And even that same Superman, Clark Kent, he was just riding a horse and he fell down and broke every bone in his body. What happened to Superman then? There's no Superman. And they say He-Man. These cartoons say He-Man. In the beginning it says the master of the universe. Be careful of these things. The master of the universe is Allah, it's not He-Man. These were cartoons in the 80s and 90s, subhanAllah. So we have to be careful that we encourage our children to know the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the best of the people. Do not get them to believe in these characters as having these special powers. I mean, Superman, subhanAllah, that was like, you can see, that's a lesson for each and every one of us. And also this film, Back to the Future. What happened to the man who's supposed to go back to the future? How many times he's gone forward and gone back? Allah is the controller of time. You think it's a small thing, it's not a small thing. Inna Allah ad-dahr. Allah subhanAllah is time, meaning the controller of time. That is a buddhar fa inna Allahu ad-dahr. Don't revile time, for Allah is time, meaning He's the controller of time. What happened to him? That same individual who's supposed to go back in the future, look at his situation. He's got an illness, or I think it's Alzheimer's or some sort of sickness, where he can't move properly. You can't play with these affairs. And these people think, oh, this is just fun. No, it's not just fun. When you train your children to believe in these kind of foolishness, then subhanAllah, less and less they become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they have doubts. And look at the situation. Superman, Star Wars, A'udhu Billah, Star Wars. What did that man say in Star Wars? What's his Darth Vader? Is it Darth Vader? What did he say? No, the other one, he says, "Oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope." Remember that one? "Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope." Subhanallah. You think this is light? It's not light. Our hope is with Allah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا رَجَاءً. As for taking a chair and seeing these kind of movies with this aqidah in it, أعوذ بالله. Keep our children away from that. Obi-Wan Kenobi is not the only hope. All of them dead. Huh? They're dead or they're sick. Spider-Man, look, he's an atheist. No, this one, Superman. Clark Kent, atheist. He died an atheist. Disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, train your children that they, and these pictures here, when you pray, how are they going to pray with these pictures? And their clothes, pictures, or faces, are they going to pray with that? Take them out, just make it plain, clothes, something nice, design, no problem. Subhanallah. Be careful, because if you put your children in a Spider-Man outfit, they might actually believe that they can climb down the a block tower, and you might have problems after that. May Allah protect us. If two brothers aren't talking to each other because of a dunya reason, and the nephew wants to keep ties with his uncle, what should he do? If his dad will get upset or angry if he did. Wallahi, this is common. Two brothers aren't talking to each other because shaitan wants to cause enmity between a brother and his brother, brother and his sister. This is, Allah mentioned it, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ شَيْطَانَ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ. He wants to cause enmity and hatred between you. And he starts obviously with the family. And how many times you heard this? Brother with a brother. Because of a dunya reason. SubhanAllah. May Allah protect us. Not deen, a dunya reason. Okay, one fell short. Maybe your kindness to them will bring them back to the truth. Your advice to them, okay, they wronged you. Allah yahdi, make dua for him to return to the truth. And the nephew wants to keep ties with his uncle. Yes, keep ties. And keep advising. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La ta'at al-makhluq fi ma'asiyat al-khaliq." There is no obedience to creation in the disobedience to the Creator. It is disobedience to break ties. So if you fear there's going to be a backlash from your own father or your own, then pick up the phone, call your uncle, keep ties that way. And then slowly, slowly try to mend between your father and your uncle. Try to mend the affairs between them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Was-sulhu khayr." That sulh is good. There's good in it. Bringing two people together that have problems with each other. And it occurs because of dunya. The person gets angry and he says the wrong things. But really we should strive at our most to be above. Rise above it. Be above what shaitan is calling you to. He wronged you, be better. Give him a gift. Tahadu tahabu. He wronged you, invite him. He didn't come the first time, didn't come the second, maybe he'll come the third time. Send good words, send a gift, send some nice, say something good from afar, send him, aid him, help him, apologize. SubhanAllah. No big deal. We're human, we make mistakes. SubhanAllah. Sometimes you call somebody, "Assalamu alaikum, kif hal," you're happy to call them. And they say, and they have a different attitude to you. You just got, you know, you got a good intention. But they have a different, "You said such and such on the night of such." SubhanAllah, you remember that? You know, it happens. Between a husband and wife, for example, it happens. Especially the women, they remember everything. SubhanAllah. May Allah help us. Yes. The women don't forget. SubhanAllah. That's why you have to rise above it. Rise above it. Be better. ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Push forward with one that is better. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. For that person that is between you and him is enmity, he ends up being your best friend. وَلِيُّ الْحَمِيمِ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And none will reach it except the patient ones. Be patient. And none reach it except those who have been given great حَظ, great reward, no doubt, great reward to be better. And Allah will aid you. You have that rifq and that kindness and that gentleness and that hilm, perseverance with the people. Allah will raise you. Allah will give you and bless you. And the one who's miserly and is dry faced, long faced, subhanAllah, that person is always miserable unless he turns back. And you see that. Miserable. Oh, but this one is nitpicky. Nitpicking on every single thing. Ya subhanAllah. Don't let anything go. Nothing. Nitpicking. Always. Allah hidik. You're going to live a life of misery and a life of qalaq. Uneasiness. Always uneasy. Muslim is happy. Ya Muslim is calm and tranquil. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah yahdi. Even some mashayikh, they say, like Sheikh Suleiman, he mentions, when you're driving and somebody wronged you. Now this is not easy, because sometimes, you know, what do you say? He said, don't curse him, don't revile him. He said, say Allah yahdi. Now that's hard. Sometimes hard, especially if he's just about to hit you. But look how the ulama advise us, the mashayikh advise us. Allah yahdi. It's better than saying, Allah revile, curse you, and Allah, you know what I'm saying? But Allah, maybe in that there is betterment for that person. So may Allah SWT forgive us our shortcomings and make us be better and make us guides to the people with our actions first before our speech. JazakAllah khairan, hayakumullah.